Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning. Hello. Welcome, welcome. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial, gathering to share stories and culture. My name is Jesse, and today on the program I've got a couple different interviews for you, some music, you know, the usual. Hope you're having a good Thursday morning. It's a little smoky out there once again, which we all hate, obviously. It's interesting. I read an article, I guess it was more of a study, that was done on the way, this was in particular, the CBC has been covering stories of environmental disasters, of which, of course, a forest fire is one. Well, the scale of forest fires that we're having is one. And it mentioned that a very small percentage of these stories directly and explicitly linked these climate disasters to man-made climate change. And so I think it's just good, you know, every time we talk about there being smoke and it being smoky and too hot and too dry and the climate being all messed up, that we acknowledge and remember that this is due to man-made climate change, that this is due to the burning of fossil fuels with reckless abandon, and that the only way to mitigate and prevent this from getting worse is to take action on climate change, and not to build increased infrastructure to allow for the increased burning of fossil fuels. So, climate change is bad, and it's our fault, and the only way we're getting out of it is by doing something about it. So, write your MPs, etc. Okay, what do we got today? Well, we're going to hear an interview with Francis Arevalo, who is a great local MC and producer who has a new album coming out at the end of August. That's from Nicole, our public affairs coordinator. And then we're going to hear Florentina's interview with Jessica Chan of Rice Paper Magazine. And of course, we're going to pepper in some tunes, and we're going to start with local music as we always do. This track is by D.L. Forrest, who is the frontman of the local band Buddy. I got to see Buddy perform at the Quetzalano Festival. No, well, that would be true if this was last year. I did see Buddy perform at last year's Quetzalano Festival. This past weekend, I saw them perform at Pleasant Day Festival on Main Street, another street music festival. They were really good. Their set was performed in full sun, which was very hot, which is what happens when you have a street festival on concrete with limited tree coverage. Anyway, DL, the frontman of the band, has a solo project, and he's got a record coming out, and the lead single is out now. It features contributions from Runner and is kind of folky. Well, I mean, I'll let you decide what you think this sounds like. This one is called Can't Sleep by D.L. Forrest.
You said, let's watch a movie. You said you want to sleep at night. You said you had a bad dream. You said that we were in a fight. You said you wanna calm down. You said you wanna be more fun. You said it's like the flu, see, you get caught in. You're out for nights. I can't sleep at night. I wanna
folk rock than folk, but that's Can't Sleep by D.L. Forrest featuring Runner. Yeah, great track. You will be able to hear an album from D.L. Forrest soon. That's all we got. We don't have a firm release date quite yet. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And now we're going to hear an interview with Francis Arevalo, who is great. He has featured on my other show, the Vancouver Mixtape, in the past. You can find that episode at cjsf.ca/content/Vancouver-mixtape, or just cjsf.ca and then navigate to the Vancouver Mixtape. And yeah, his new record is out at the end of August, which is much sooner now than it was the last time I said that. From all indications, all the singles that have come out yet, it's going to be great. So we'll hear that interview, then we'll hear a track by Francis, and then I'll be back. So enjoy.
Hello and welcome to CAJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Nicole, and today I am chatting with East Vancouver, born and raised MC and storyteller, Francis Arevalo. How are you doing, Francis? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's so nice to connect with you. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Vancouver, and I am enjoying it from outside.
Yes, I love it. So, guys, we are pre-recording. Unfortunately, you don't get to see what I'm seeing, but France is in the most glorious background right now. It is picturesque.
Yeah, I've got the blue sky. It's sunny. I shot around for a little. I was playing basketball earlier.
Hey.
I've got like the spring glow on me. You know, it feels good.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so my first question that I'm going to ask for you today is, I am a Toronto native, born and raised. However, I love East Van. I have lived in East Van for some time. I don't live in East Van now, but I've always loved it. So my question to you is, what was it like growing up in East Van?
Yeah, so I basically grew up on Fraser Street. I actually did all my grade school in Surrey, actually, but then I moved back with my extended family after I graduated high school, and I've been in Vancouver ever since, East Vancouver ever since. And yeah, I think, you know, my favorite parts about East Van is that, I mean, the first thing, honestly, is that my family is there. It's like, I'm big on like that connection. You know, my first community was my family, still is my family. And the places that I spend time are usually like Fraser Street, Main Street, and like Joyce Collingwood neighborhood. So the Filipino community is really present in the form of businesses and shops and studios and stuff like that. So I don't know, the areas that I spend time in now feel the most at home I've ever been. And I think it's been like that since I was a child, and I'm really grateful for that.
I love it. And I just want to share that the first neighborhood that I migrated to when I moved here was Joyce Collingwood. And I absolutely love Joyce. I actually miss that neighborhood. So I love that that was part of your, you know, upbringing in the city. I would love to move to a question about your background and your journey with words and storytelling. Can you take us on a bit of a journey?
Yeah, so I think my first experiences with like using language creatively and fully and expressively definitely comes from my family. Like, my family is very like communicative at the least, and you know, they are always expressing how they feel and their opinions on things, and you know, I think we're always in conversation. So I think from a very young age I learned that language is a way that you connect with other people, and early on through grade school, like elementary, like I really liked writing stories, and eventually became poems, and then in high school became songs, and it was just natural progression from the roots of, you know, communicating as family, to, you know, share my emotions and share my thoughts and share my stories. And somewhere in end of high school, early university, I got really involved with the poetry slam scene here in Vancouver. So I was performing spoken word. I got involved in like a mentorship program, and I was competing at the local poetry slam like almost weekly. And then as, when it came to competing, like in the on the individual side, I was the inaugural youth poetry slam champion here in Vancouver.
Right on.
And I kind of peaked at as a finalist as at the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam. I think that was like 2011 or 2012. So as far as my involvement in that scene, it really peaked there. But like, to be honest, I did so poorly at the finals that it dissuaded me from continuing further.
Okay.
So that was kind of the pivot point of like, okay, I still want to write. I still want to be creative. What if it was music and it wasn't competition instead?
Okay.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, like a switch flipped. Mm-hmm. And I kind of dedicated the rest of my creative career to mostly song, and then every now and then the poem.
Love that. And when it comes to your creative career, how important has your culture been for you? Like, I know you talked a lot about family, but you know, mm-hmm. you're a Filipino Canadian. How does that mm-hmm. play a role in your artistic work?
Yeah, I think honestly the biggest thing for me is the sense of family and the sense of like collectivism that I've kind of been raised up in. To me, I think expressing creatively is not an individual act. It's like I'm kind of like a plant soaking up the environment and the other plants around me, right? So the stories that I tell are often rooted in my perspective and my first person experience. But the lessons and the insights that I'm pulling from are from my family. They're from my friends. They're from the communities that I participate in. So from the beginning, I think I was raised to know that I don't exist in a vacuum, and I exist as part of a web of other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if everyone has that same sense or same upbringing. Sorry. And I think that is very much not unique to being Filipino, but it is characteristic, I think, of being a Filipino surrounded by other Filipinos, especially family.
Right.
And I also think in our families, in both sides of my family, there's like a sense of humor that is like very particular and like little turns of phrase, little like quick things that kind of keep your mind on its toes, you know?
Yeah.
So I think even though my Tagalog and my Bisaya isn't great, like I do think that way of thinking has made its way into my writing in English.
Love it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, throughout your career, because you've been doing this for a hot minute, do you have mm-hmm. any experiences that have made you super proud?
That's a good question. You know, the one that comes to mind immediately is, so since I was in high school, since like 2008, I think my biggest artistic influence is this hip hop artist named Shad. Right now he's based in Toronto, Ontario. Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah.
So from like 2008, I remember exactly when I was first introduced to his music. I remember that whole experience. I can still recite that first song that I heard, like mostly front to back. And he knows this, like he knows the influence that he's had on me as a artist and as a person.
Yes.
But earlier this year, I got to open for him here in Vancouver.
That's wild.
Yeah. So he played a sold out Hollywood theater, and I got to open that night. And it was like, it was so like this. That's the kind of moment where that's one that I would tell my younger self. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad that you kept going, because you just opened for the person that's like kind of kickstarted your artist career.
Oh, I love it. And I'm so, like, I asked that question because I'm passionate about, like, artists, creative. I think it's so important for a city's culture and just even humanity, right? But I also know how difficult it is to live the light of a creative, and to hear, like, when things come full circle almost, you know, it's, I think it's important to share, to kind of at least be an inspiring to others that are out there that are, you know, might not be in that place yet, right? And the fact that, you know, things do come full circle sometimes. And I just love to hear that, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Because honestly, and you were saying like how difficult it is to be an artist. I mean, there's the career and the money and the business part of that.
Yeah.
But there's also the like identity and the existential crises that come with like, am I an artist? Am I not? What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've like swayed and dropped the artist path many times.
Yeah.
Like it's never been, it's not been a linear thing all these years. Like, and so I recently picked it up kind of like with a renewed sense of purpose, maybe like last summertime.
Okay.
And yeah, because yeah. I've worked in the music industry in other roles, but the role of being an artist, like I've recently come back to that, like middle of June, I think last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so to start off the year opening for Shad, I think was a big affirmation that, okay, I'm glad that I continued and I persisted and I think I'm on the right path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now speaking of this renewed energy and the year that you've been on, what kind of things do you have on the go over the next little while?
Yeah, the biggest thing is that I'm finishing up an album.
Okay.
This album has been 8 years in the making, and it's one of the things that I've dropped off, I've picked up, I've dropped off, I've picked up. And in this return to being an artist, it was the first thing that I was like, okay, I need to finally finish this project.
Okay.
And I think maybe in a sentence, that album is about growing into the artist and person that I've been trying to be all these years. And I think the reason I couldn't finish it before is because I just wasn't that person yet.
Right.
So now I'm like, okay, I think I've grown into who I wanted to be. Let's finish it.
Hey, so when can we expect it then, would you say?
Yeah, end of summertime.
End of summertime. Okay, that's great because, you know, CJSF would love to play some tracks. So I, you know, please stay connected because I cannot wait to hear for sure. Now, one of the things that I love to talk about on the show is food. I'm also a creative as well. I cook on the side. That is one of the things that I do. So food is important to me. And I am curious, like, what are some of the favorite things that you like eating these days?
Oh, like eating. Okay. My favorite, I'm actually close to Main Street right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my favorite thing to eat on Main Street is if you go to Faux Goodness, I think that's like Main and 17th.
Yeah.
The number 25 pho with lemongrass chicken, but with the pho satay added on top. I know the order.
Hey.
That's my favorite thing to eat. Yeah, I love that dish so much. And separately, like I recently made, I've been trying to cook and bake more interesting foods again.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
I had some time this weekend and I made a batch of chewy chocolate chip cookies and they're like so perfect right now.
Okay, two things. I love that. That is so incredible. I actually am going to put the details to the restaurant in the show notes. You know what I mean? Because I think it's important. People like do listen for food tips and food talk and all the things. So I'm definitely going to include that as well. I can't believe that I'm already coming to a close of our conversation, but I do want to give you an opportunity to maybe like, is there anything that you want to share with listeners that you might not have shared already?
I can think of two things real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the first thing is that I've released the first two singles off the album already.
Okay.
The first one is called Waterboy, which is about my experience working at this water shop that my uncle owns for like over a decade now.
Okay.
And it's kind of where my music career begins.
Oh.
Because I wrote my first songs there. I learned how to produce music there. So that's Waterboy. And the second single is called Gardens. And Gardens features a local legend and friend of mine named Kimortal. And it speaks to my love for hip hop and like my love for people. So yeah, those songs are out. If people want a taste of what the album is going to sound like, those are some pretty good starting points.
Awesome.
And then I think the last thing I'd say is like, yeah, I think it's like a little corny, but like, listen to your heart, I think. Because like, I said earlier, I've picked up the artist career. I've dropped it. Like, I've lost track of how many times I've done it.
Yeah.
And I think last summertime, I was navigating a bit of a tough time. And I was kind of like, what do I feel called to do right now?
Yeah.
And it was to pick up music again. And this time, it feels like I'm really holding on to it and taking care of it. And giving it the attention that it deserves and it needs to grow into what I want it to. So yeah, listen to your heart because it's telling you things all the time.
Hey, listen to your heart. Francis, thank you so much for joining me today on CJSF. But before I let you go, how could people get connected with you, especially for the tracks that you just mentioned? And then, you know, you're going to have your upcoming album. How can we connect?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Francis Arevalo. It's spelled F-R-A-N-C-I-S. My last name is spelled A-R-E, V as in Victor, A-L-O. My social media is Francis Arevalo Music on all the platforms.
Awesome.
And then all the music is on all the streaming platforms and Bandcamp. I think that's all of them. And yeah, also like, if you're in Vancouver, I work at Cascade Water still for like part time. So come say what's up. Like,
yes, Cascade Water. Yeah, I love it. Francis, thank you so much for being insightful, sharing your journey and joining me on Beats and Eats. And I am definitely going to ensure that I have like all the links in the show notes, you know what I mean? Including ways to like listen to some of your tracks and stuff and to connect with you. So again, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's been so beautiful in the chat.
Thanks again to Francis and to Nicole for doing that great interview. Once again, francisarevalo.bandcamp.com or francisarevalo.com, Francis Arevalo Music. And we're going to hear that track, Waterboy, about Cascade Water, featuring Kathleen Zaragoza.
Young Francis with talent for raps and this little knack for the language, he had the wit, he's passionate, a path that he had to stick. He's a water boy, but he knows he's water more. At the water store rapping while mopping floors, at his day job 6 days a week till it pays off, helping customers while playing beats. But sooner or later, 10 years pass, many jobs, but he still finds his way back. He's not leaving Van City now, he's committed. This is what he signed up for and isn't quitting. People wonder what the hell he's still doing here. Why's he wasting his time? He should use a mirror. While he's wondering where all of this is going, then all he knows, Cascade keeps holding it. There's that water boy. Will he go and seize it? Will he go explore? Guess we'll wait and see. He gonna chase his dreams. Are they make believers? I hope he knows that there's more in store. Yeah. There's that water boy. Will he go and seize it? Will he go explore? Guess we'll wait. Another day, another dollar bill. But I swear there's a hole in my wallet still. Used to want a copper meal if we're talking real. I really used to want a deal, now I got a deal. All I want to build is life that can hold me. Sown so deep, growth moving slowly. Now all I want to feel is light I can grow from. All I want to feel is the life that I've chosen. No one knows of the sacrifices I made just to rap the nicest. Kept crafting these raps with a passion. I just kept writing my past just to pass my crisis. Now I'm still here. No, I'm never gonna leave this. Promise to be the kind of queer to believe in. Keep dreaming. Even on days that I want to stop, I find my flow at the water shop.
We'll see if you never leave. So boy, you better leave. We'll fly if you never try.
Try.
So boy, you better try.
Try.
We'll go if you never go.
Go.
So boy, you better go. Yeah, now boy, you better go. Yeah, now boy, you better go.
There's that water boy. Will he go and seize it? Will he go explore? Guess we'll wait and see.
Thank you.
listeners. My name is Florentina, and last week I had the true pleasure of joining 2026 Literary Asians panel talking about the legacy of Jim Wong Chu in the Asian Canadian literary movement, which featured the panelists that I'm honored to be joined with today, Jessica Jinjade Chan. Jessica here is the former editor-in-chief for BC's own Rice Paper magazine and is currently serving as the director for the board of the Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Florentina.
Just to start things off with, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I guess you've said my name. My name is Jessica Chan, and I am actually a lawyer who's out in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I practice mergers and acquisitions law off of Bay Street, and I guess I do this in my spare time. So thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. My life before law was as an editor of Rice Paper magazine, and I took over Rice Paper right around the troubled years. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably in the early noughties to the late 2000s. That's when I was involved. Mm-hmm. And I am involved with the Ontario chapter of the Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers. Don't want the BC chapter to be a little upset at me. So there you go.
Yeah.
In terms of background, my background is in law currently, and my previous background would have been in publishing, so I'm very thrilled to be back at SFU. Mm-hmm. I did take the master's in publishing here, so it's been a while since I've been on the mountain, but it's lovely to be back.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Prior to that, I was in creative writing.
Just to start things off with, in that case, do you find that there's like an overlap with the work you do now, with the work you've done previously as an editor? I think I have it written here, in fact. Having done so many literary reviews for Rice Paper, what keeps drawing you back to writing, to reviewing writing?
Storytelling.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's just so much to be said in terms of the stories that every person has to tell, and it's always very exciting. Like, even if you're writing a LinkedIn post now, there's a storytelling narrative to that. Mm-hmm. Or in speaking publicly, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're trying to make your client's case in court, there's usually some kind of narrative there. So I always find it very interesting to find what gets to the root of the human psyche. Mm-hmm. And it's always a bit more interesting when you've couched someone's issue or problem in something that matters to them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where the overlap is. And I suppose because Jim Wong Chu was my mentor, it's very difficult to not be involved with the community somehow or want to be, right? Mm-hmm. So interestingly, I did not realize that Jim's influence on me, even as a lawyer, still continues today, because even though he was my writing and publishing mentor, let's say the work I do with Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers, we are also, you know, in the business of promoting Asian lawyers.